Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is being brought to you by Elite Vacation Homes. If you need a home in the Central Florida area to visit any of the theme parks, contact Elite Vacation Homes at elitevacationhomes.com. The show's also being brought to you by David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you want to stay at any of the DVC properties, contact David's at dvcrequest.com. Show's also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. If you need a scooter for any of the theme parks or anywhere in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at scootervacations.com. And last but not least, American Tourist Travel. Let us book all your travel needs, especially Disney. You can find us at americantouristtravelagency.com. Now come on, guys, let's hop on the train and head over to the pub.
Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad, now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
Welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. I'm joined as always by my good buddy Dan. Hey Dan, pull up a stool.
Hey Doug, how you doing?
I'm doing very well. I'm sitting here at the pub with you tonight. We're also sitting here with our good buddy Bob Sycon from our website, It's All in WDW. How you doing tonight, Bob?
Did you miss me, boys?
Yeah, we missed you a little bit, buddy, a little bit.
We always miss you, Bob.
Yeah, you're our boy. How was your trip? Did you have a good time?
Yeah, it was kind of a busy couple of weeks. Early January, we were down in Disney for Festival of the Arts, Food and Art, as I published it. Had some Disney fun, quick couple of days at Coronado Springs, and then had a quick trip up to Nashville last weekend to visit our son and his wife. So we're back and ready to go.
I'm starting to dislike John and Bob. I don't know who I dislike more. Do you, Dan?
Yeah, it's hard not to be jealous when these guys are at the parks. It seems like every other weekend.
Yeah, one or the other is always there.
If it makes you feel any better, I'm locked in Atlanta for the next 5 weeks. But at the beginning of March, Dennis, guess where I'm staying for Food and Garden?
Food and Garden. Where
Saratoga Springs.
Oh, give that man a cigar. Actually, we stayed at Coronado Springs this past trip, and you know, you guys know how much we love that resort. But gonna be honest with you, it's just going into a refurbishment phase. There's three sections: the cabanas, the casitas where we like to stay, and the ranchos, which is in the back. I think maybe Dennis, that's where you guys were.
Correct.
Yes. And Rancho's is where they're starting the refurbs, and they are completely redoing the rooms. Actually, Mrs. All in WDW has seen some pictures, and she thinks it's pretty impressive. I think they're doing a really good job with what they're going to do with the refurb, but to be honest with you, there's a little bit of chaos going on. We weren't 100% pleased with our room earlier this month. So, and then when I tried to book beginning of March for Food and Garden, for some reason, convention, whatever, Coronado was booked up, and we happened on Saratoga Springs, and she was really excited about, she's giving me a thumbs up over there, but she was really excited about the prospect of staying at Saratoga, because we've never stayed by Disney Springs, and this is our first time to do that.
That'll be sweet.
Yeah, and I'm sure you know, if you don't know the property well enough, depending on, are you more interested in staying near the main building or having a view or an easier walk to Disney Springs? What's your preference?
Easier walk to Disney Springs, which I think is Congress Park, right?
Correct, yeah. That's where you want to put your request in for.
And what brilliant gentleman gave you that information?
Let me see. I think he does a podcast. Is very grumpy.
Yes, thanks.
I actually texted Doug while I was in the middle of making the reservation, and said, what section am I supposed to request? And he told me Congress Park. So yeah, we're really looking forward to it. And, you know, Doug, you've told us many times that, you know, it's really beautiful to stand at Saratoga, look across the water and see Disney Springs all lit up. Do either of you know that if you're at Saratoga, are you able to see the drone show from there, or do you have to be actually in Disney Springs?
Yeah, I have no idea. I haven't seen it. John could probably answer that for you.
Yeah, if he was only here tonight. We miss you, John.
We miss you, John. If you can answer the question, that would be great. If any of the listeners can answer it, that'd be great, too.
Obviously, depending on, you know, if the lights are on all sides of the drone or only on one side, you know, you're right, Bob. That's a great question, because even though you might be able to see where the drones go up, you know, you may not get to see it in its full effect if the lights aren't, you know, 360, I guess I want to say. So that's a great question.
I mean, if I was a betting man, I would say, yeah, from certain parts of Saratoga, but I'm not 100% sure either. So we'll ask John, and maybe by Sunday we'll give you the answer, because he'll be on Sunday.
All I can say is I'm a little bit conflicted, because you know Food and Garden's going to be running, so I'm going to be wanting to try some Food and Garden cuisine during the day. But in that evening, I can see that we're going to be spending quite a bit of time over at Disney Springs, hopping around the Boathouse and Splitsville and Morimoto and Homecoming.
You got to go to Paddlefish on the upper stairs, up on the top lounge. That's what I'm looking forward to.
I wouldn't want to do that before you could, Doug, because it would break your heart.
Nope. I could live vicariously through you, so it wouldn't bother me. Any information I can get, I'm a happy man to get it, one way or another.
And it's a lot cheaper for you, Doug.
Exactly. Exactly. But
actually, did you guys catch that? I think that wasn't there an opening date announced?
February 4th.
I thought I saw something. So that's awesome that we actually have a date for Paddlefish.
Yeah, and the menu's out. So we'll be going over the menu on Sunday's show. The menu's all out, so we'll cover that. So I'm looking forward
to that.
So you drinking your Lafin de Mont now, Bob?
I am. Are you?
Yes, I am. I'm going to have my one. That's all you can have of these. I don't know about you.
The official beer of the WDW Main Street podcast.
Yeah, we'll see. Dennis has to give his seal of approval first. He still hasn't tried it yet.
I have not, but I'm working on it.
Maybe he'll try it when he tries that crabless crab cake.
Yeah, maybe at the same time.
Actually, I meant to bring this up on our pre-show banter, but we got sidetracked. So what do you want to wager here, Bob, on the big game? A week from Sunday, seeing how you're representing the Panther and I'm representing Boston. Well,
but I was a little shocked, though, before you two get into this, how he bailed on the Browns. I mean, I thought the Browns were your team. And he sent me Falcons things.
No, here, let me repeat that again. Oh, hell no.
Okay.
I have never been a Browns fan. It was really funny. I have always called myself a NFL free agent and said that one of a variety of different teams were going to have to earn my allegiance. And over the course of the years, I followed the Dolphins for a short period of time when I was really, really young. And then Buffalo Bills, I had a customer that I used to deal with that is in Buffalo. So I kind of followed the team for his benefit. Never been a huge Cleveland Browns fan. I mean, how can you really? and then when we moved to Atlanta, tried to follow the Falcons. And of course, our son and daughter-in-law live in Nashville. Kind of follow the Titans a little bit, but got to be excited when you're in a city where they won the NFC championship. It's the second time in their history. And when it comes to the Super Bowl, I got to be honest with you. Really, I think it's going to come down to a couple things. Are the Falcons going to be on the same offensive game they were against the Packers? Because the Packers weren't in it at all. And two, can they stop Tom Brady from deflating footballs?
Jeez.
Well, I mean, you got to put anything you can out there, because to be honest, Bob, I think you got a lot of first-timers going to the Super Bowl. I don't think they're going to put up near the points that they have been putting up as of late. And I hate to say it, but I don't think you got much of a shot.
Really? Okay, well, let's put it this way. I don't even know what the line is at this point.
It's 3 points.
Really? Only three? Oh, no, the Falcons deserve way more than that. If you want to make a bet and give me two touchdowns, I'll take it.
No, I wasn't even going to talk points. I would just bet it straight up, just win or lose. Make it easy.
And what were you looking to bet? What were you looking at?
We could make it beer. Whatever Bob wanted. That's why I wanted to discuss it first, which would have been a lot better. I didn't know, what is Atlanta known for, Bob? Or what do you got down there that you could propose as a payoff should you lose the wager?
Peaches.
No. I'm going to say lobster or send you down to, seafood or something. I don't know. Or maybe some Sam Adams and you're going to give me peaches? Come on.
Why don't you bet four pack of Lafin de Mon or something? Nah. Something like that. You don't like that? Well, I'm just
gotta try it first.
Let's get back to this. This is boring radio. We'll figure something out, and when next time we're on, because we have we got a week and a half, Bob, to the game, so we'll figure it out.
Talk about it Sunday. Okay, think about how many points you want to give me, and then we'll deal with it.
I'm thinking more of this. If Dennis loses, he has to get on the Tower of Terror. If Bob loses, you got to think of something he has to do. That's the way I should. I think it should be a Disney bet myself.
Okay, all right. Well, we'll see. It's not a bad idea either, but seeing how when we
Bob, I know do. If the Falcons lose, I'll stay at Saratoga Springs.
No, there you.
We'll figure something out.
Yeah, you got to do something. I think we should come up with some kind of Disney bet. Something you guys got to do, and you don't have to be there together, because, if you did Tower of Terror, you could go to the picture afterward and take the picture to prove that you were on it.
Right.
And then Bob, we got to come up with something that he has to do if Atlanta loses.
Right. Well, plus we always have John that could be in attendance to, corroborate,
exactly.
This event actually happened.
So you still need to make this bet. So that's how we'll have to do it. We'll have to come up with something that Bob don't like, which there's a lot of things Bob don't like. It's just trying to pin one down.
He has to eat a mushroom stew or something.
Ew.
We'll figure something out.
I definitely need points if I'm going to do that.
Mm-mm. No points, straight up. Real men don't need points. We don't do points. They're both in the Super Bowl. There shouldn't be a point line. I'm ready to bet him at this point. This is the integrity of the show back.
But no, all seriousness, 3 points is, that was the opening line. To be honest, I haven't even paid attention as the week has gone on. It could be an even pick'em game at this point. I don't know. But I think the teams on paper are pretty evenly matched, though. No. So it should be a good game. It really should.
I think the experience, like you said, now that we've turned our podcast into NFL Today, I think the experience on the Patriots side is going to give them a big edge. And honestly, I am surprised the spread's only 3 points. I would have thought it would have been way more than that.
Well, you got the number one offense going against the number one defense, so... It ought to be
interesting. You know how it is, though. Yeah, and even though the Patriots have the number one defense, I give it the eyeball test. And, again, I think we're all more critical of our own teams, regardless of what the national pundits say or whatever. But when you watch a team closely week in and week out, you seem to see all of the,
the flaws,
exactly.
The reason why you have a good defense, and we got to get off this and get to the Animal Kingdom before – Carmen and Judith and all of our Disney listeners refuse to listen. But the offense of New England helps their defense out quite a bit because the offense is on the field. The New England Patriots aren't a big strike kind of offense. They dig and dunk and catch you here and there and keep time of possession quite a bit. So Brady knows how to keep the defense off the field quite a bit, too.
Our short passing game is our running game.
Exactly. And that eats up clock because they stay in bounds. And that's how it helps your defense quite a bit.
And as Brady's arthritis sets in, he deflates the footballs. He can hold on to them really tight.
No, all I got to say is they need to keep the alarms in the building of Atlanta so they don't wake him up in the middle of the night. Did that guy, was he like a local hero up there, Dan?
That happens like every week in NFL football. I don't see what the big deal is. That never happens to the teams on the road?
Not here. They've never done that in the city here. Philadelphia hasn't done. They might have hit them with snowballs coming out of the building because that's we ever hear. That Santa Claus that got hit. That's the other thing that drives me nuts. That Santa Claus that got hit with snowballs.
20 years ago.
Yeah, 20 years ago. And the reason the fans did it, which they never report. Santa Claus was drunk out of his mind, falling all over the field, and that's why they did it to him. He was hammered. That's how that all happened. He was a drunken Santa Claus. But today, we still got to hear about it 20 years later. Yeah. But anyway.
No, I mean, maybe I'm just naive. I've been hearing about that for years and years, whether it's Patriots or otherwise. I mean, that's almost, you can count on it when you go to a visiting city that some zipperhead's going to pull some crap like that just to aggravate the road team. I mean, it happens quite a bit, to be honest with you.
But anyway, if Bob don't bet you, I'll bet you before this week's out. So to have some kind of action on the game.
Yeah, just a friendly, just to keep some interest, right?
Exactly. But anyway, let's get into our animal kingdom, what this whole show is supposed to be about, instead of, like Bob said, the NFL today or WDW Main Street primetime over here. But what we're doing today, we're going to do the poll for the top attractions at the animal kingdom, which is a full day park. And Bob's going to explain to us how this goes now.
Okay. So this is the fifth annual fan favorite attraction polls. This will be the fifth straight year that we've run this. And we go through all four parks. We're going to start with Animal Kingdom this time around. Then we'll move on to what's left of Hollywood Studios, Epcot, and then Magic Kingdom, and then that'll be culminated with a WDW poll to crown the WDW favorite attraction, which over the course of five different tournaments turns out to be generally a very exciting competition. So what we're going to do this week, the poll is going to kick off on Saturday, January 28th. It will start with four rounds with six attractions in each of the four groups with six attractions in each of the four groups. You'll get a chance to vote for your three favorites in each group. So you get to cast 12 votes in round one, with three from each group moving on to round two. What we've done is I've sent a list of attractions over to the guys and asked them to rank the attractions from 1 to 16. Now, these were the ones that got the most amount of votes in last year's poll. We're going to count those down from 16 to 1 tonight. And then we've also chosen, together eight wild cards. So there will be 24 attractions from Animal Kingdom that will enter the first round and have a chance to become the Animal Kingdom favorite attraction. So with that, I guess at number 16, Doug, I'll turn it back over to you. You usually are the master of the ceremonies in order.
Oh, well, I'll start off with my number 16. And even though I didn't want to talk about this, I don't like it, I don't want it, I hate it, but I had to list it because you made me, is Primeval, I think it Stinks World. So Primeval World is number 16 for me.
Yeah, I knew you were going there. Or the one I picked at 16. I picked Triceratops Spin, so I suspect that one may come up next on your list, but we shall see.
It's not far, but Primeval World, like I've said a million times on this show, I'll say it again, that it shouldn't even be in the park. I can't stand it. It's everything that Walt would not like. The reason the parks were created, because he didn't like amusement park rides, and that's a stinking amusement park ride. So Primeval, Stinking World.
It's odd because Primeval World actually, a couple of years in a row, I think, appeared on the cover of the unofficial guide. And there was a lot of conversation over that. So for me, and I'll also note for John, who can't be with us here tonight, at number 16, we agree with Dennis, Triceratops Spin. Not a ride that we've been on, and we haven't been on Primeval World either, but it's probably not going to anytime soon be at the high end of our list. So for myself and John, Triceratops Spin was at number 16. So, Doug, where were you at number 15?
The same stinking ride, the spin that you just talked about. I mean, if I had a lot of money, could close the park down and go in with my construction company and my crew, I would go in and remove both those rides like immediately from the park. So I don't like either one. I mean, Triceratops Spin's okay. It's more like a Dumbo ride, so it's okay. I mean, I could deal with it, but both of those rides, they were, to me, they were lazy. It was kind of like, we need a couple things. Let's throw a couple things in here. There was no thought whatsoever to them, so I don't like either one of those two. So Triceratops Spin for 15. Get it out of there. Go ahead. What's 15 for you guys?
15 for me, Primeval World. It was I could have put either one of them at 15, 16, and pretty much for the same reasons you stated, Doug. You know, for a Disney park, regardless of the theme, and, you know, we've all talked about, or, you know, I've posed the theory that it does fit there because of the backstory. But when you get right down to it, regardless of the theming, they're not the type. They're rides that you can get in your hometown, or a similar ride you can get in your hometown or your local Six Flags or whatever. And that, you know, that's the whole point. You go to Disney to see stuff you can't get at home. So for that reason, they shouldn't be there. And I agree with you on that. So both of them, they could go tomorrow, and I think I might take a trip down there just to see them go. I'd be so happy.
No, I'd pick you. I'd let you meet me here, and we go together.
There you go.
We'd have a Le Fin de Mon over it. What's 15
well, John,
for you two?
John and I both, again, agree with Dennis. Primeval World at number 15. Like I said, it's not something we've ever experienced, and it seems like four great minds think alike with regard to the bottom two of the top 16.
The only thing I'm disappointed in use three is, because I'm right about this, the other one should have been 16, and we all should have agreed on 16 and 15. You guys were wrong. Any ride that hurts somebody the way that that did shouldn't ever be ahead of anything. That hurt an employee a few years ago, if you remember.
I thought it killed somebody.
Yeah, it
actually did.
I didn't want to go there, but you know what I'm saying. It's a nasty, nasty ride, and it should have been last. But I'll settle. I'm glad we both 15, 16. I hope they're eliminated from the poll, like, really quick.
I think you're going to get your wish.
Yeah, well, and there won't be any voter fraud going on around here, but I don't like either one of them. Number 14 for me was Cali River Rapids, and I know I'll get some grief on this, but Cali River Rapids to me should just be in one of the water parks, because it's okay if you're, and I've said it 1,000 times on the show, it's great if you're leaving the park, headed back to your room and chilling, but I don't care. Everybody says you dry out or whatever, but when your feet get wet like that, and I like to wear sneakers, I'm not a flip-flop or a sandal kind of guy, I wear sneakers, and I do not want my feet and my sneakers wet to ruin my day. It's kind of like I don't need the ride. It's okay to me. But number 14 is Cali River Rapids. And I know I'm whining, and Dave Koch will be over here. Did you see the argument we got on Twitter?
I did not.
Yeah, we were having fun. So he's going to be telling me this is some incoherent arguing. So, but anyway, 14's Cali River Rapids.
14 for me is Wild Africa Trek. Not that I particularly dislike this attraction, but when I put in my other things that I like better, it just fell down to the 14 slot. So that's where it is for me. Wild Africa Trek at 14.
Bobby?
Okay. So John agrees with Dennis. with regard to Wild Africa Trek being number 14. And if you're going to take heat, Doug, I'm going to be right there with you because I have Collie River Rapids at number 14. The last time we rode on that, my son and I got absolutely drenched, and I'm still hearing about it to this day. So, so as far as I'm concerned, that one, that ride's off limits forever.
Yeah, it's just kind of like, and I get it. Like Splash Mountain, there's times I get just as wet, but everything that's on Splash Mountain kind of makes it worth doing it. Where that does not, Cali River Rapids does not make it worth doing it. In just my opinion, that's all. Do you agree with me, Dan, on that?
I do. And I think I said this. We actually did it on the last trip down there when we hadn't done it in years and years for the very reason. And, I mean, who wants to be uncomfortable? And you see all the people coming off of it like drenched rats. And, you're scared to go on it, but you're stressing out about how wet you're going to get. People are trying to wrap themselves in trash bags. And, you know, it's just a whole thing. You're down there to have fun. And I think, like you said, Doug, it'd be a great attraction if it was in one of the water parks. If they could have, instead of building that new one, if they could have dismantled it and brought it over to the water park, I think that would be make everyone happy and leave that footprint for some new attraction.
Yeah, it's just like usually me and Brian have dinner reservations or something like that. So who wants to be? I don't know. I mean, even if you try out, you still don't feel right. It just ruins your day. If that's all I was doing, I'm all in. Let's have some fun. But when you got to get a locker, put a trash bag on, make sure your camera's covered, you know, somebody, it's just too much of a hassle for the amount, because the attraction doesn't even have enough atmosphere around it to make it worth the while of doing it.
Well, and that's what I was going to say. The theming on it is very lacking. I mean, you know, there's nothing, you know, you get up there, there's a few smoldering, pieces of wood. And again, we all get what they're trying to portray there and and all that stuff. But, you know, it's pretty barren. There's nothing of note to really take in along your pretty short, raft ride on this thing. I mean, you go down the big hill and around the corner and, you know, you sometimes even have a couple zipper heads squirting them big water cannons at you up on the bridge there. They even add insult to injury, right?
and if you don't get wet, they're going to get you soaked.
Exactly. So, yeah, you're right. It's just, I mean, again, I don't know anybody that goes to Disney regularly that, you know, talks very highly of this attraction. It's just kind of there. They either don't do it or they begrudgingly do it. But I've never heard, oh, that's one of my favorite attractions at, you know, Animal Kingdom or any other park for that matter.
Now, I hear you, dude. I'm not going to be on anytime soon. The last few times I went on was just because of the godson. And he didn't even go on it this last trip. He even said the same thing. He goes, now the kid, and I'll pick on him. He has long hair. He's all into his hair. Everything's about his hair. So I knew he wasn't going on because he, God forbid his hair gets wet. So he kind of saved me. No, just save me. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I think with Avatar Land opening up and now that there's going to be other things to do, I'd be willing to bet that Cali River Rapids attendance goes down. I'm going to predict that, you know, if you got to cut something out of your day, that's definitely a first cut. At least it will be in my book.
Well, it's going to be an end of day type thing. And if you're going to be able to stay in the park later because of Pandora opening, you're going to be less likely to want to get wet at like 11 o'clock in the morning and still be in the park till 7 p.m.
Yeah, or you're going to have to do what one of the deals with the have lunch at the Yak and Yeti, hop on that, get soaked, go back to the hotel, take a swim, and then come back to the park to see everything else. I mean, that's the only way I would do it if it's going to be the out-the-door kind of deal
right.
in the afternoon.
Yeah, and we've talked about this before, and we've all done it, or I'm going to assume we've all done it. I mean, that bus ride, if you get one of those buses that has the AC cranked up, it can be a chilly ride back to your resort if you get wet enough on that attraction. I mean, it is downright uncomfortable.
And yeah. That, Dennis, is why I still haven't heard the end of it.
Yeah, well, usually my butt's on the seat of one of my rental cars, so I don't have to worry about that.
Right, right.
So, number 13 for me is Wilderness Explorer. It's just one of the wonderful things that I love all about the park. I love all these learning experience. I love everything about, you know, anything that you can, you know, that any everything at this park except for those last three I love. So Wilderness Explorer is 13 for me.
And I had Cali River Rapids at 13, which we just beat to a pulp.
Well, I think we could get a little more pulp out of it. Go ahead, Bob. All right, Bob, number 13 to you.
Okay, so for me, number 13, I'm going to be the outlier on this one. Number 13 for me is Dinosaur. And the reason for that is that at this point we've ridden it and it knocks us all over the place, and it's just a little bit to the point where it's too much jerking around. So I just decided that for me it's just a little much. John, on the other hand, agrees with Dennis again. Number 13 is Cali River Rapids.
So, Bob, every one of these polls, he has to take one of my favorite things and just sabotage it to make it be bottom of the list. So it don't ever make it to the top of the list. So it has to fight its way through. I see how you're working this, Bob.
I think this is the first time that we had one that we didn't agree on.
No, there was one in the other round. I have to remember. If I'm wrong, I will apologize, but I have to go back. There was something that you did to me on the last poll that you really hurt me with. One of the restaurants, you really knocked me out. You knocked my socks off with it. So I'll have to go do research. But I never forget.
I'm sorry, Dennis, but I mean, the ride's incredibly popular, and I understand that. And, you know, in the past, it's been one of the things that we would angle for right as we go into the park. But the last time we rode it, we just got bumped around so much that it just wasn't enjoyable. And as I looked at the list that I had here, I mean, I just thought to myself, you know, there's just so many other things I would rather do than that. It just ended up falling down towards the bottom above the three other things that I would less like to do: Cali River Rapids, Primeval World, and Triceratops Spin.
Okay, all I got to say is when we hit the studios, do not hate me for what I do to the Rock and Roller Coaster. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm just saying it a different way than Bob did, but he's not necessarily saying that it isn't a good attraction or it doesn't have great audio automatronics. It is that it doesn't do well to his body. So, and I think that might be a similar theme to what you're alluding to with the Rock and Roller Coaster. So just because something's down on the list, it's more of a physical thing than it is a hatred, if that's the proper word for a particular attraction.
No, the Rock and Roller Coaster is actually pretty smooth to me, but it just, I know how much he likes it, and he knows how much I like Dinosaurs, so I might have to skew the polls a little bit. I'll see how I feel that day when we do it, but it might have to happen. I mean, to me, rough will be when we get to the Magic Kingdom in Space Mountain. That's why Space Mountain is so low for me.
I'm going to take a note here. American Adventure on the box. Okay, go ahead.
There you go. You've already done that to me before, but that's okay.
What comes around, goes around.
But he's gone around twice, and I've done nothing. So let the games begin. Anyway, number 12 for me is just Experience the Tree of Life. That whole area around there is just one of my favorite things, just staring at all the sculptures and all the, I mean, everything in that tree is one of the most amazing things you'll ever see. I mean, and I love people in line that I've been in line to get on Tough to Be a Bug, and people's heads are, how do you go by that tree and your head is buried in your phone?
Yeah, well, that's a societal thing.
I mean, you just want to reach around and just do like the Benny Hill slap and wake them all up and tell them, look at what you're missing, man. I mean, really, the phone will be there. There's nothing in that phone that you won't be able to see in another 15 minutes, and you're going to walk by this one of the most beautiful things you'll ever see.
And that's the same person who'll be complaining there was nothing to do or see at the Animal Kingdom.
Yeah, because they're all about everything has to be like crazy, exciting, going nuts. And, you know, just looking at that tree is one of the most amazing things I've ever seen. And with me doing construction and all the things that I've seen in my life, that's one of the most amazing things I've ever witnessed. So the Tree of Life for me, next for you, Dan?
Yeah, at 12, I have Exposition Everest. Again, a little contrast. Same idea as you with Dinosaur Bob. I, you know, unlike Doug, who, you know, you'll hear his rant or mini rant on this attraction that we've heard before. We'll probably get the short version now, but it's for the same reason. It just with that backwards turn really bothers me now, and I don't want to be walking around the park queasy. So it's there more for the physical part of the attraction, more so than just not liking the attraction. I kind of enjoyed the attraction itself and the story it told and all that good stuff. But for the reasons that it, you know, messes with me, I have it down this low on my list.
This last trip on this ride, and I mean, to continue what you're saying, I went on, Jimmy and all of us did it. But I actually went, because we had fast passes, but I actually did it myself and walked through the queue line. And then when it was time to get on, I exited. I didn't even want to go on again. I just wanted to see. I enjoyed the queue more than the ride, and I've said that a million times. So I went through the queue again because the lines weren't crazy. And all these people, as I'm going through it and looking at all the artifacts, looking at everything, everything that's in there, people are looking at me like I'm nuts as I'm letting them all go by me. Because they didn't know I was going to ride it. I mean, right. I must have let like 50 people go by me, and they're like, "You sure? Are you sure, sir?" Like all the thing that annoyed me is I had like 50 kids say "sir" to me. "Sir, are you sure?" Yeah. But I actually did that, and then did the chicken exit and got off of it because I'd already ridden it once with Jimmy and Mark with Fast Pass.
Right.
But nah, it's up higher on my list just out of because I know how much everybody else likes it. But if it was up. Really, if I didn't think that way, it would have probably been right below Cali at 13. But I gave it more respect, unlike Bob did with Dinosaur. Go ahead, Bob.
Okay, number 12 for myself is Finding Nemo the Musical. I've made the comment in the past that Mrs. All and WDW and I aren't really big show people. So that was number 12 for me. For John, it was Rafiki's Planet Watch.
Okay. And my next one is Nemo, so I'll follow you with that. Nemo would be higher on my list because me and my wife both enjoy – I enjoy watching the shows with Brenda, and I do enjoy all that. I like to – I just enjoy sitting down, relaxing a little bit. But those seats are the absolute worst seats – except for the at Lights Motor Action, I don't think the seats could be any worse if they tried. Do you guys agree with that? It's not a pleasant seat to watch that show.
No, and usually the queue lines are really big. And to your point, Doug, you're looking forward to getting in a nice air-conditioned building and getting off your feet for a while. And after about 5 minutes in those, I don't know what type of metal they're made out of, but there's no padding at all in them, and they're very, very uncomfortable. It's almost like they're making you uncomfortable on purpose so that you'll run out of there when the show's done, because it literally will, if you have any type of back issue at all, it's going to definitely show sitting in the – and the show, I mean, by Disney standards, it's what – 25-minute show, mm-hmm. maybe, something mm-hmm. like that, half hour, tops, and it gets to you. I mean, they are literally uncomfortable. I mean, I end up standing up and, you know, all kinds of stuff. It's a shame because the show itself, you're right, is very – it's, you know, as theatrical performances go, it's pretty good, and it's got a great soundtrack to it, which you can purchase after the show, and they're all original songs, none of which were in the movie, so it's got a lot going for it, but the seats make it it really takes away points.
The only way they could make it worse is if they stuck thumbtacks and throw it. I mean, that's about it. I mean, it's like, it's just sad. It's like you said, how uncomfortable could they possibly make? Now, could you imagine if Broadway had seats like that? They'd never have a show.
Right. Yeah, you'd never go back, that's for sure. I mean, you know, and I don't know this. Maybe they repurposed them from some other thing and they saved money. I have no idea. But you would think, you know, guests must complain about it. You would think they would have done something by now, but it remains the same.
No, I just – not for me. Not the seats aren't for me. The show's good. But like I said, the only seats worse in the whole park were Lights, Motor, Action if you were out in the middle of the sun all day and you fried like a fish out there. Number 11 for you, Dan.
Number 11 for me was Maharaja Jungle Trek. And again, that's the one with the tiger on it, that trail, if you can envision that. And again, I don't necessarily dislike it. It's just I like other things better. So that's where that fell on my list.
Bobby?
Okay, so for number 11 for me was Wilderness Explorers. And number 11 for John, forgive him, was the Wildlife Express Train.
He might not be on the show on Sunday. I mean, come on, John. I mean, that's like a dig at me. I mean, that hurts really bad. I thought he liked me more than that.
We'll have to get him to answer a few questions on that.
And the next, the like you said, Dan, like everything else, because I love the Animal Kingdom so much. Almost everything from here on out had to be put in order, but I like them all pretty much close to the same. The next for me is the Rakifi Planet Watch. And I'm the lucky one. Like, and the animals aren't lucky because every time I'm there, one of them's getting operated on. But I love that whole area back there. I mean, this last trip, my brother-in-law and my godson were getting annoyed with me because they wanted to leave, and there was that operation going on, and I was like, I was totally into it. I mean, I could have stayed there all day listening to the veterinarians talk, and it was really, really interesting watching that. What happened was the last trip we were there, a turtle got run over in the parking lot, and they were repairing its shell, and they saved it as we were there. It was going to make a full recovery, and it was really cool watching this turtle get its shell repaired and stuff the way they went about doing it, and it was really cool.
No, that's awesome. And last trip, we took a ride out there, and you know, we went through the whole facility, like you're talking about. We can view the veterinarians working on various animals and such. But when you exit that building, there's like a goat petting area, and they have small animals where you can interact with them and feed them. And my daughter and son-in-law, they enjoyed that. They must have stayed there a half hour, and my wife and I just sat there taking pictures, and they were chasing the goats around and, you know, playing around and stuff. And they really enjoyed that. So, you know, although it's nothing, like you said, Doug, there's not any neon lights flashing or sirens going off. But I mean, to just get away from it all and, you know, goof around with the animals and, you know, what you may not be able to do back home, depending on where you live. It was an enjoyable, you know, half hour or so, like I said.
No, I just absolutely love that whole area. I mean, that's one of those things when I moved there, I could see me retired just going out there every day. I mean, I would just love to be hanging out there.
Bring
hang
out.
Yeah, get on my train, head on out, walk around, see what they're taking care of. I mean, every time I go in there, I learn something. I see something that I've never seen before. Like I told you guys about the that big ball of rawhide that they said the taggers tore apart in a couple hours. I mean, just – and the lady handed it to me, and I went to pick it up. It was like carrying one of my 80-pound drywall buckets, and these taggers are like beating it like it's a little tennis ball. I mean, it was amazing. I love that area. Do you like that, Bob?
We've been back there only once. A very similar story to you, Doug. I enjoyed it. Mrs. Allen, WDW, and our son, not so much. So it was a case of I probably could have stayed there a little bit longer to enjoy it. And, you know, not to jump Dennis, but I have that ranked like you at number 10. It's something that at some point in the future I want to go back and experience a little bit more.
Well, maybe when the whole boys club moves down there, we can go hang out there, take the train, and have a good day. That's their dreams. Hopefully, do come true for all of us down there.
At number 10, I mean, this is maybe a little contradictory, but I had Rafiki's Planet Watch, which is kind of goes hand in hand with the attraction we were just talking about. But again, it just fell to this position on my list. No rhyme or reason, really.
Yeah, you had it the same. We all had it the same, Dan. Rakifi Planet Watch, we all had it number 10.
Okay, well, we're good to go then.
What did John have for number 10, Bobby?
Number 10, he had Wilderness Explorers. So he's about the same where you and I ranked it, Doug. And well, you know, it's probably he's running into the same type of thing as we are. I mean, all of the things are good. You just had to put them in some type of order, which we know Dennis doesn't like, but you know, he indulges us.
Okay. Number 9 for me was Pangani Gorilla Trail, which, again, same thing as Rikifi Planet Watch. I mean, you go out there, you see those silverback gorillas. It's amazing. I mean, I love that. Every trip I have to do this. And I don't understand how, and again, I'd all rant and rave and Dave and Pat and all pick on me and blah, blah, blah over the dudes. But how do you call this? I mean, how do you call it a half-day park? How do you call it just a zoo the way this is set up? I've never been to a zoo that's this nice in my life. I mean, and all the interaction and the stuff there is and the beauty of it and the cleanliness. The thing that I love about this that I have had a problem with zoos and everything else, have you ever smelt the animals at the Animal Kingdom?
Yeah, I have, but it's very limited, and I know what you mean. You're not getting these large. Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
No,
but I, to be honest, I have, but it's not like you walk through the gates and you smell manure type thing.
No, to me, it's never smelled like a zoo at all. Like I've never had my. I mean, every zoo I've ever been to, except for the Animal Kingdom, I'm really not in the mood to eat most of the times. I mean, I'm not being smart. I'm not even picking on it. You smell the animals. You go by the zebras. I mean, you go by the hay, and you smell like every single thing in the area. It's like I've never been to the Animal Kingdom where I've walked through and I've smelled anything except for the flowers and the beauty of the place, if that makes any sense to you. And going out and seeing these gorillas is, I mean, just the power of them. I mean, Dan, how many times, and I know they're one of your favorites, when they start to run and move around, it's like, it's so impressive. You could just see this, the sheer force and the power of them. I mean, it's just amazing. I could stand, and what my point was, I could stand here for a half hour, 45 minutes. On the last trip, like, they were happy to be there, but after 10, 15 minutes, they were fidgety. I was watching two of them. They were messing around with each other. There was a baby there. And one of the fathers, because it wasn't the mother, it was the main silverback, and he was messing with the kid, and it was real. I could have stayed there all day if I'd have had a bag of popcorn and a Peroni. I'd have been in heaven.
Yeah, I saw this same exhibit, Doug, and you're right. The little one was like messing with the big silverback,
yes.
And I was just waiting to see how when he would lose his patience and give him a backhander or something, and. You know, he never did, but it was interesting to see the interaction. And the baby was like testing him, like kind of poking him and, you know, taking a piece of his food and stuff. Mm-hmm. And when I go, usually whatever group I'm with, they got to pull me out of there, because if they didn't, I would stay there and often have for in excess of 45 minutes. I mean, I can't get enough of that particular attraction.
Yeah, because when you're there, you don't feel bad for them. Like when I'm at other zoos, I feel bad for the animals.
Right.
I'm like, I mean, there I feel like, man, this dude has it really good here. Yeah. You know, he has better place than I do. I mean, like you're not like, that's the other thing I love about the Animal Kingdom, that I feel happy for the animals. I mean, I'm like the ducks, if I could fly, I would land in there and adopt the place. You know what I'm saying? I don't know why birds just don't show up there all the time. And I don't feel bad when I leave that. When I leave any other zoo, I leave sad. I feel bad for the animals.
Yeah, I know what you mean. When you see animals that are just in a, you know, a square cage with very little room to run around and stuff, I mean, you know, you're right. It kind of defeats the purpose of your going, because it makes you depressed more than it, you know, gives you enjoyment. So that's one thing about the Animal Kingdom. They build these habitats as close to their natural habitat as possible, and they give them plenty of room to, you know, run around. And, you know, that's why a lot of people say it's kind of boring, because oftentimes you see these huge, you know, look at the tigers, for instance, you know, usually they're up against the glass and, you know, laying down, not doing anything. But yet there's this huge, you know, area for them to, you know, interact. And again, you know, if you go different times of day, you might see him, you know, interact, which you've
said.
Yeah,
they were diving
times,
in the pool the last time,
yeah,
which
yeah,
is pretty
but
cool.
I'm just saying, that's why a lot of people give it a bum rap, because they go midday when it's hot as heck out there, and, you know, the animals aren't stupid. They're not going to exert energy at that time of day. So they're chilling out, and, you know, you walk by and you see, you know, a couple of brown lumps laying against the enclosure there, and it's, you know, it isn't very exciting, and, you know, people then, you know, base their opinion on that, which is really unfair.
Nah, I enjoy it there. Number nine for you, Dan.
Oh, number nine for me. What am I doing here? Finding Nemo, again, of the two shows, I will say Festival of the Lion King and Finding Nemo. I much prefer Festival of the Lion King, particularly in its new show building, but Finding Nemo is kind of a mid-range attraction for me at the Animal Kingdom.
And Bob, you haven't said nothing in an hour. Bob, number nine for you.
You guys talk for an hour? Holy smokes. No, John, once again, agrees with Dennis. Did you guys copy from each other?
I was the first one to submit my list, so any copy went on, it wasn't on my end.
So number nine for John was Finding Nemo. And number nine for me, I'm glad John did worse than I did, Wildlife Express Train.
Okay. Yeah, right.
I'm just not happy with him. Number eight for me, and it would have been further, but I gave it credit because everybody else loves it, is Expedition Everest. And everybody knows I rant, rave, cry, piss, moan. You can say whatever you want. I just think Disney, the building is beautiful, but I don't, the ride, I'd rather be doing other things. I'd rather be going seeing the gorillas than sit on that stupid roller coaster to me. You know, that's just how I feel. I think there's more to do in the inside the building of the Yak and Yeti than there is for. I enjoy exploring the Yak and Yeti inside of the restaurant more than I enjoy the roller coaster ride of Expedition ever. So, but I gave it credit because everybody else loves it, and I know I'm the exception to the rule on this. But number eight for me is Everest.
Number eight for me was Festival of the Lion King, and like I said, I like it a little bit more. Although I would say, you know, Bob stated he wasn't. They aren't very. They aren't theater people, and I'm not either. I mean, I think the first time I saw them, you know, they really blew me away. Now that I've seen them multiple times, I not like them less and less, but I'm more apt to even do them. We used to wrote. Go back and forth. If we, whatever one we did, we would do the other one next trip and so forth and so on. But we find ourselves skipping them, both of them altogether. Great shows in their own right. First timers will love it and rave about it. But, you know, there's other things to do. And like I keep saying, once Avatar Land opens and there's, you know, two or three more attractions to do over there and the nighttime presentation and all that stuff, you know, these will be things that maybe won't be cut, but certainly won't be attended as much as we have in recent years.
Yeah, you bring up a really good topic, Dennis, because when I do drop the post on Saturday that has the polls for round one, I'm going to note in there that this will be the last time that we have an Animal Kingdom attractions tournament without including what Pandora has to offer. And it's going to be really interesting to see how this year, this time next year, how the entire Animal Kingdom attractions layout gets turned inside out by the, you know, by Pandora opening up.
Yeah,
I cannot wait. I can't wait. What's up next? What's up next for you two, knuckleheads?
Okay, well, number eight for me was Maharaja Jungle Trek, and number eight for John was It's Tough to Be a Bug. I'm sure we'll talk about that one, you know, a few picks down the line with regard to how we feel about it. When it comes to Maharaja, I have to confess that's not something that I've experienced at this point, but I know that it's got a high level of popularity, and as I ranked mine, my list, I put things that speak Animal Kingdom to me at the higher part of the list, and this just so happened to end up at number eight.
So you haven't gone and seen the Tigers yet?
I have not.
Oh my God! I don't even know what to say to you right now.
Well, it's a half day park. So what do you want me to say?
Yeah, I know. You're crazy. You're just wrong. That's almost – I might almost have to bring you up on charges for treason against this show with saying stuff like that, Half Day Park.
Pat, Dave, help me out.
Yes. No, they're not helping you out. Only Dave will. Pat won't. But Dave will help you out. Dave will do anything to go against me. And he loses every time he does, but that's besides the point. But anyway, no, what was number seven for me? Because originally I had Flights of Wonder, Bob.
Okay, spill in the beans to everybody. Flights of Wonder is going to end up in the wild card group, and that's because it didn't have enough votes to hit the top 16 based on last year's tournament. So number seven for you, Doug, was Wild Africa Trek, which actually is on your living list.
It's on my living list, but it's – and I can't wait to do it. I can't wait for me and Brenda to have a great day of – I'm looking forward to going across the bridges and doing all that. I can't wait to try that one of these days. But Flights of Wonder to me, I don't know how it didn't make it on last year's list. I mean, I just don't understand anybody that – have you seen this lately, Bob? Flights of Wonder, have you seen it?
Actually, not the show, not in a long time. But we did show up at opening – a couple trips back, and we were able to see the opening show, which was pretty exciting.
Yeah, well, Flights of Wonder is even better than that, and it got I just can't believe it's on Wild Card, and Primeval Whirl and Trailer Stop Spin are even in this when that's out of it in Wild Card. So people need to do their homework and kick those two out and make sure Flights of Wonder is in. But the track I can't wait to do, and I'm looking for I can't wait to have a day of just hiking through that park, doing that, and then head over to Yak and Yeti, get my fried wontons, and having a great day. What's up next for you, Dan? Number seven for you.
Number seven for me is the Wildlife Express train, and no particular order. Yeah, and I know Bob just brought – well, I'll wait till it comes out. But Wildlife Express is number seven for me. Go ahead, Bob.
Seven for you, Bobby.
Okay, so number seven for me, and I should note you mentioned a couple of minutes ago, Doug, the phrase Pangani. The last several years, that's how this has shown up in the polls. But if you look on Walt Disney World's website now, and that's where I take the attraction names from fresh every year when I write the contestant list for the polls, is Gorilla Falls Exploration Trail.
And well, that was the original name. They put it back to that.
Exactly, and that's why I wanted to call it out to the listeners and to the readers that it is the similar or same as Pangani. It's just they've changed the name. It's Gorilla Falls Exploration Trail, and I've got that at number seven. John has Tree of Life at number seven.
Oh, he put it pretty high. I'm proud of him for that. He does have a little bit of class. But do you like the gorillas, Bobby? Do you enjoy running through there?
But Doug, it's a half-day park.
Why do you keep
He's
going
never
there?
Seen him.
You've never been there? What is wrong with you, man?
It's a half-day park.
Yeah, well, the only reason you haven't seen all this stuff because your wife won't let you. She keeps making you leave. Am I wrong?
No, it's because we sit at the Dawa Bar.
Oh, geez. That's sad. Yeah, you're so sad. You really are. Number six for me is the Maharaja Jungle Track, which it has special memories for me because I've told the story on the show how I threatened to put my dad in with the bats and leave him if he kept being a brat to me. It was the year that he pulled his back out and he was in the wheelchair, and he was being a little bit of a pistol there for a while. And could you imagine? I pushed a wheelchair with a 215-pound man in it the entire day through that animal kingdom.
And didn't complain.
Yeah, didn't complain, didn't do anything, pushed him around. I even put him on the Kilimanjaro Safari up the ramp onto the Jeep, and I didn't complain all day, but he was starting to give me grief. And we were sitting in front of the area where you go into bats where the chains are, and I said, "You keep it up, I will push you in there and I will leave you in there." So every time this past trip when I was down there, it brought a tear to my eye when I walked by there. It made me think of my dad. So the Maharaja Jungle Track is always going to have a special place in my heart because I had some really good times there with my father. So, and Yeah, and we already talked about the Tigers and everything else. I love that whole thing. I won't miss that any trip just because of the time I had with my dad. So, number, what's up next for you, Dad?
Let's see. What number are we on? We're on 6, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Wilderness Explorers for me. And, again, I'm going to guess that I'm the only one of the three of us that have done this. And for those listeners out there that don't know what this is, that's
where
the...
Where you get your stickers from Russell.
Yeah. And it's a great way to introduce yourself to the park. If you want to get to every nook and cranny and kind of get an overview, it does a great job of drawing you into places that you wouldn't normally go, or if you just follow the park map, or you're just looking for the e-attractions and buzz on them and get out of there. If you do take your time, and, you know, it is primarily for kids, but it's a family activity too, and it will take you to all the different areas, and it's kind of like a you got to do stuff in order to get the stickers. They don't just give you the stickers because you show up. You got to answer a question or go to some exhibit and observe something and then come back with an answer. I mean, it's nothing too hard or anything like that, but it's very comprehensive. I mean, I only got half my book done, and I forgot to bring it this time, so I didn't get any more done on it this last trip, but I hope to do that. And again, it's one of those things you might think, it's for kids or whatever. I'm telling you, if you take the time and get the book, it's free, and you do this, even if you do it over multiple trips to the Animal Kingdom, you're going to learn and do stuff that you never, ever would have done on your own, just, touring by without doing this.
No, it's awesome. Me and Brenda dabbled in it a little bit a couple trips ago after you told me about it. Remember we went down with my sister-in-law?
Yeah.
So we roamed over there and looked into it. And what we kind of did is, instead of grabbing the book, we just listened at a couple of the areas where they were talking about it. And we tried to do it without doing it, if that makes any sense to you, Dan.
Yeah.
So, and I highly recommend it too, because it might make you realize, like Bob, it's not a half day park if you knuckleheads actually go explore a little bit. The whole idea is explore. It's not all, like I've said a million times on the show, the Animal Kingdom don't have a bunch of neon signs telling you this is here and there. You got to roam around and find the stuff. There's a lot of things that are hidden there that if you find them, you might have a good time if you actually put a little effort in and stay away from the Dowel Bar all damn day. What's up next for you, Bob?
Well, I was just thinking about what you were just saying. I mean, it is vacation, and that sounds like a whole lot of effort and work. The Dowel Bar is just so much easier.
I got to bring you to work with me a couple days, Bob, so I can get you a little bit. I'll get you in shape, buddy.
So number 6 for me was Wild Africa Trek. Actually, after you spoke about it on your living list, that was one of the items that I could have easily made an argument for adding to my own. Mm-hmm. But that's something that I look forward at some point experiencing. And John was the Gorilla Falls Exploration Trail.
Okay, well, maybe all of us will get to do that at the same time on the living list. We'll do it early,
yeah.
And then we could all end up at the Dowel Bar later on in the day. We'll go to Yak and Yeti and then head over to the bar. How's that sound, Bobby?
All of that sounds great to me.
So that's it sounds like a future plan. That will happen. So, I mean, number 5 for me is The Lion King, which I absolutely love The Lion King. I try to see it almost every show. And, I mean, unlike you guys, I think I like the shows a little bit more than used to. My most of the time, my mother-in-law, she really loves this stuff. So when we're down there when we're with her, she really enjoys it. And The Lion King, just the music in that. And then the coolest guys in the world, you see these guys walking on stilts all day. I mean, you got to be a real man to walk on stilts. So just watching them do that. And I'm like, maybe I could take over for you guys if you want me to. But no, and then the monkeys jumping. I just enjoy that show. I just enjoy all the acrobatic stuff going on in it. And the music is – Lion King has one of my favorite soundtracks of all time. So I just have a lot of fun every time I see The Lion King. And it's one of my favorite things in the park.
I'm gonna agree with you there, and you know, and again, not to jump over Dennis, but I have it at number five as well. And yes, we're not big show people, but this one actually has a special memory for me. You know, Lion King was one of favorite movies that we watched with our son when he was growing up, and the soundtrack is phenomenal. The one time that I have been able to experience it, not in the new venue, but the old one, was actually, ironically, on his 21st birthday. And I wish he had been there with us when we did it. It's a phenomenal show, and it rises to number five. It always does great in the poll, too, by the way.
Yeah, just all the acrobatics. Like, besides the show, you got really great dancers that are doing a part. The dancer that does everything on there, that girl, she's amazing. Then all the stilt walkers are really cool. And the stilts that they're on, I want to steal a pair of them every time I see them, because I look at them and they're totally different than the ones I walk on. But I can tell they're a lot easier than what I'm using, if you understand what I'm saying. They're really high tech, and you can tell they're made for each individual stilt walker. And then the monkeys, I mean, how can't you have a good time just watching them monkeys go nuts on that trampoline?
Yeah, the tumble monkeys are awesome.
So, I mean, the show brings it just, no matter how good of, I mean, you get out of the heat for the day, if it's a hot day, you get in there, and I don't know how they don't, that whole show just don't put a smile on your face. Even the joking, the singers in there are so powerful and phenomenal. I mean, the two lead singers are out of this world. I mean, I think you guys got to agree with that.
Yeah, it's like, well, we did a festival this last trip we went, and it was all new singers. For a while there was many years where the main male character and female character were there for quite a few years, and you'd even see them do the parades on Christmas Day and all that stuff. And they've moved on to something else or left the company, I don't know. But a new cast, which I will say they were good, but not they didn't have the I didn't think they had as powerful voices as some of them other folks did, but they were still very good. But you could tell it was a drop off, and it's a very unique role. I mean, to get somebody that, you know, looks the part, you know, is the same stature and, you know, all that stuff, it must be very difficult to fill that role. So kudos to Disney for being able to do that. But yeah, they are awesome.
Number five for you, Dan.
Number five for me is the Tree of Life.
Okay.
Again, I love it. It's all for all the reasons you said, and all the carvings, and you can see it from many different vantage points around the, you know, around the waterway there, around the tree, and you know, take the time to look at it, because it's, you know, it's beautiful.
My argument is with that is, if it was, I don't think it gets the credit it deserves. I mean, I think it's out of all the four weenies, as you call them, I think it's the most, I think it's the most beautiful of the four, in my opinion. The only reason I don't think it gets the credit it deserves is because it's in the fourth park. If that had been the original thing, if that had been the original park, everybody would have loved it more. I mean, the artwork in that tree, and it's just amazing how beautiful it is. It's a piece of architectural phenomenon. I mean, it's hard to explain how beautiful that thing is. I mean, the Man Chinese Theater, they copied off of the Chinese Theater. A castle is a castle, which Cinderella's castle is absolutely beautiful. The ball, I love the ball because it's in the same way. I mean, if you were to ask me, it would be the Tree of Life and the ball, 1 and 1A is my two favorite. And then it would be the castle and then the Man Chinese Theater. I don't know how you guys would rate them.
I mean, for me, I think it changes over the years. At least it did for me. I mean, the first time we went, the castle is what blew us away. And obviously, Animal Kingdom didn't exist the first year, or it didn't come on
for
until
years
later that year. Yeah, or a couple years later. But no, it was 97, right? That Animal Kingdom.
No,
I
think Animal Kingdom opened in 01.
No.
01,
no,
yeah, it did. 01, 02.
You want to bet?
Okay, we'll bet off the air, but go ahead.
Okay, it's definitely definitely not old. It's definitely open in either 97 or 98. I'm not sure which. But anyways, that's irrelevant to my point. But I think what I was going to say, Doug, is I think it changes. Like once I fell in love with Epcot, that became my favorite icon, the sphere. And, you know, but again, a tree is a living thing, even though it's a fake tree. But I mean, I think it would win hands down just based on that. But you're right. Not as many people see it. And, you know, I don't think it's immediately recognizable as, you know, the castle, which, you know, almost anybody on this earth you show a picture of, they could tell you what it is. The Tree of Life, maybe not, you know. So it's got that going against it. But as more people come and go to Avatar Land and all that, I think it will become more popular. But for me, it changes. I mean, it's been something different. Right now, mine would be Epcot, though, personally.
Yeah. And I would agree with that. And a couple comments. First, referring to Animal Kingdom as a fourth park, that's not for much longer. I mean, obviously, yeah. Hollywood Studios is going to drop to that spot. And honestly, and we've talked about this on the show as well, once Star Wars Land and Toy Story Land are up and running, I think Epcot's going to drop to the number four park as far as what it has to offer outside of things like World Showcase and the different festivals. Second thing, April 22nd, 1998.
Yeah, Animal Kingdom opened.
Open day. Yeah. So that if it makes you feel any better, neither one of you are right. when it comes to the park icons, for me, I agree with you, Dennis. To me, it's always Spaceship Earth. Generally put Magic Kingdom right behind that, just because I feel I have to, because it's Magic Kingdom. I actually would prefer the Tree of Life as the third of the different icons. And you know, it goes back and forth. I don't know that I've often seen pictures of Hollywood Studios icon being the theater. It's generally represented as Tower of Terror. And definitely for me, that would be the fourth of the bunch.
Yeah, to me, it's always been the Chinese theater because it's the central focus of the park. I mean, the Chinese theater was put there 10 years before the Tower of Terror ever existed, or 15, Bob. I mean, I get what you're saying. They use it. But really, the main Chinese theater is what the focal point is. That was the center point of the park because that's where it is.
I don't disagree with that, but it's just not as pronounced of an icon from a park standpoint in my mind in comparison to the other three, that it can be anything, whether it was the Tower of Terror, because it's the Tower of Terror, which I don't dislike the ride. It's just, you know, it's the Tower of Terror. That would be fourth in my mind, and the theater would be fourth in my mind because it just can't stack up against the tree, Spaceship Earth, or the castle.
I mean, Hollywood Studios had an issue a few years ago because you're right, Doug, or partly right. It originally was the theater, but also it was the Eiffel Tower. And even on the merchandise, if you think about it, a lot of times they would show the Eiffel Tower as the icon when they were trying to represent either, you know, Hollywood Studios or whatever it was called at that time. So that's why there's confusion. And now that's gone, obviously. It doesn't exist anymore, the Eiffel Tower, that is. So I do believe that they would like the Chinese theater to be the icon. But I also heard or saw, and maybe this is what you're talking about, I'm pretty sure the new merchandise does show the Tower of Terror. You know, like those T-shirts where they just show the four park icons? Mm-hmm. They're starting to show the Tower of Terror. So, and again, don't quote me on this or send emails, as you always say, Doug. I think that where they don't own the rights to the theater, they don't want it to be, even though I think they have an agreement in hand right now because they're showing it. That doesn't mean 5 years down the road when it comes up from renewal that it'll happen. And if they have all their merchandise around that, it could cause problems. So I think, and I could be wrong, but I just think that they put it for the Tower of Terror just because I think they own that intellectual property. I don't know, but that's just my guess.
Yeah, well, anyway, I mean, I put them all in order, and I love all four of them. Like I said, it's like picking between your children. They're all beautiful, so it ain't like I'm trying to criticize any of them. But if you just look at the Tree of Life, with all the detail that's in that, I think it's I think it's the most beautiful of all of them, in my opinion. Because how much work went into making that? So, number
dressed
four.
Up oil rig.
Yeah, the sculptures
I know
in it.
What you're saying.
Yeah. All those animals, you've never seen anything like it. That's the only one, too. There's not a tree of life in any of the other parks. It's to my Disney World, and that's the other reason I love it. There's not a tree of life in Shanghai. There's not one in France. There's not one out in Disneyland. The only place that has it is in my Animal Kingdom, and I like it that way.
But can't you say the same about Spaceship Earth?
No. Yeah, you can too, but I'm just making the argument for what I like. I like Spaceship Earth second. But the castle, there's a castle at every park, and I think they're beautiful, so I'll get in trouble for that, but it's another castle. The Tree of Life is special. So leave me alone, guys. Number four.
Nobody picking on you.
Yeah, you are. But anyway, number four for me is Tough to Be a Bug, which is in my beautiful Tree of Life. And I think this show is way underrated, in my opinion. And this is another show that every time I leave, no matter how many times I know the stupid jokes or know what's going to happen, I enjoy this show. I crack up every time when the water hits you. And you know what I'm saying. When everything happens, it's a good time. It's just a really fun time to do this show. Do you guys like Tough to Be a Bug?
Dennis, if you want to go ahead and speak.
I actually have it at number four also, so I agree with you as far as where it fits on the list. But, I would have to say of the 3D shows, it's probably one of the better ones. I think repeatability is very high to this one because it's like you mentioned, for its location, it's very, very unique, and you kind of go underground and in through the roots of the tree and go into the theater. And it's a very short show, so you can get in and out of there. And like you said, Doug, without ruining it for folks that might not have done it yet, there's some unique things that happen to you in the theater that, you know, just put it over the top, in my view. And even if you've seen it a dozen times, watching the reaction of somebody in your party or somebody just around you that's sitting there that this may be their first time seeing the show, that in itself is a hoot.
just watching my stupid brother Don, like one of his idols, to put it to you guys, I told you his favorite character is Tomater. You know, Larry the Cable Guy is his hero. So you can imagine every time the stink bug comes out, the joy that it brings on his face. You know, right. I mean, my brother's one of these guys that farting is still the funniest thing on the planet to him. So, I mean, just to see the stink bug, I've been on it with him a few times, and when he's not with me, every time that thing comes out and backs his butt up, makes me think of my brother, and I just start to crack up. And my stepfather is definitely afraid of spiders. We took him on that to when they came down to watch him freak out like a little girl was a highlight to me. So I have a lot of good memories on that ride, so I love Tough to Be a Bug. What's for you, Bobby?
Same. It's Tough to Be a Bug. Great minds think alike. It is an easy attraction to get onto. As you mentioned, it's not too long of a show. And it's really enjoyable. It'll be interesting to find out if it stays It's Tough to Be a Bug in the future, or if they might do something different with that show area. But for me, number four is that. And I think we might have missed John at five. He was Maharaja Jungle Trek at five, and his number four was Festival of the Lion King, of which we already spoke.
So we're all pretty close there. And the thing of it is, with Tough to Be a Bug and to mention the Tree of Life, this is another ride that when I'm in line, and my wife's the same way because she enjoys that, the whole entry area, the queue, I call it, to the Tough to Be a Bug, which is the Tree of Life, we let people go by us on that. Are you guys ever in a hurry to get into that theater? Or do you just enjoy the whole time you're getting in there? Like, I have let so many – I have probably let more people go by on Tough to Be a Bug than any other ride in any of the parks, period.
Well, yeah, because you're reading, I'm assuming you're reading all the posters, you're looking up, there's places where carvings kind of come down and go over your head or off to the side. So there's a lot to see. And as you know, you've done it many times, you should be in no hurry, because when you get to the end, it kind of fans out and you're evenly dispersed amongst the doors that open into the theater. So whether you're, you know, going in now or you're 20 behind, you're probably going to end up by and large in the same spot you would have if you were, you know, 20 ahead. So there's no need to rush to go in there, in my view.
Yeah, and even if I miss that time, I'll continue to look at the tree. I mean, I'm just happy to be there. I mean, I just enjoy that whole queue. I mean, I could just stay. I just take my time. It gets to the point sometimes where Brenda starts tugging on me now. come on. But right. I'm just always taken back by looking at the beauty of that area. And then, like I said, the icing on the cake is enjoying that show.
Yeah.
So it's just a shame John didn't have it at 4 so we could all be the same. Somebody always has to be different.
Yeah.
So I guess you guys want my number 3?
Yeah, go ahead, Doug. What's your number 3?
I'm thinking about it. Now, number 3 for me is the Wildlife Express train. I know I'm higher than all you guys, but you guys know my love of trains. And me and Brenda have, I can't even count how many times that we have gotten on the train, back from Rakifi Planet Watch, stayed on the train, going back out to Rakifi Planet Watch, and then come back on the train. I just enjoy relaxing on that train. I know it's not the greatest. I mean, it's not the most exciting ride, but going by every once in a while, you get to see the animals in their facilities and stuff like that. And there's just something about the clickety clack of that train that I really, really enjoy. It's just one of my happy places in all the park. So that's number 3 for me.
Yep, that's a good one, and I agree. Number 3 for me is Dinosaur. I mean, Dinosaur is, or was, I guess I should say, probably one of our favorite attractions amongst all 4 theme parks down there. I mean, it's very exciting. It can be, you know, if you're a small child or, you know, maybe an older person, it can be maybe even terrifying, I would say.
yeah,
some
it could
of those
be.
Audio animatronics, especially the big one that comes out at the end, is pretty frightening if you're not ready for it. So, you know, it's that, and, you know, you do really get the sensation that you're driving a Jeep or some kind of vehicle out into the area where you're looking for this dinosaur. And it's a fast moving attraction, and there's always something happening, and it's just it's a great attraction. We love it, and we generally do it each and every time we go there. But to Bob's point earlier, it is taking a toll on me as I get older, so we probably won't do it as much going forward, but in my mind, it still doesn't make it any less of a great attraction.
Now, I'll be talking about it in a couple minutes. Number 3 for you, Bobby.
Okay, so first I'll mention John at number 3, agrees with Dennis again. Dinosaur, I swear they copied their papers. For me, the next 3, my top 3, say Animal Kingdom to me. And these are 3 things that just, when I think of the park, they're must-dos. And number 3 is the Tree of Life. We just spent a lot of time talking about it. It is iconic, and it's impossible for us, at least, to walk into that park and not want to snap a picture of it. And as you walk around from all different angles, try to get a shot. It's
phenomenal.
It's a phenomenal sight. Yeah, it's a phenomenal sight.
I'm finally starting to agree with you tonight, Bob. you hit the nail on the head. I don't think there's ever been a trip that the first thing I do is, as soon as I see it, is break the camera or the phone out to take a picture of that.
It's a must do. I mean, the only thing we haven't done yet is had a cast member take our picture in front of the Tree of Life at the photo spot that they have there. But other than that, I mean, I've got tons of pictures of the tree from over the years. It's just impossible for me, at least, to go in there without taking a shot of it.
Yeah, me, Mom, and Brenda from 99, the first year we went down at Christmas. The cast members, the photo pass members grabbed us, and I bought three of them. So they got me. That was back at the time where they took your picture and handed you the voucher, and you had to go into the store and pay for them when you left. You remember those
right.
days?
Yep.
Yeah, they got me. We got up there, and they took three pictures, and my wife couldn't choose between which one she liked more. And we ended up with all three of them. So,
but that solves that. Yeah.
Yeah. Number two for me is Kilimanjaro Safari. And again, I love the safari. I love everything about it. That was my dad's favorite ride when we went to the Animal Kingdom. I can still remember putting him on there with that wheelchair. And he was it was one of the things that he talked about when we got home, that he could not believe how big and how much effort they put into that. Like, most people don't understand that safari, it's bigger than the Magic Kingdom, isn't it, Dan? Is what they say.
I believe so, in square footage or whatever the unit of measure is, it's bigger than the footprint of the whole Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, and my dad just couldn't believe. It's like one of the things he fell in love with down there. And there hasn't been a trip since the park has been open that we haven't done it at least once every trip, sometimes twice. But now to even put it over the top, the nighttime safari has, like, even elevated it more. I know our friends Carmen and Brian, they said that because they did it on one of their last trips, that they did the nighttime spectacular or the nighttime safari, and they said that the giraffes and stuff like that, you don't get to see them as good, which I kind of agree with them. If you do go down, I would recommend you do it at the day and at nighttime. But now that they added the nighttime aspect to it, it just gives it a whole new – it revives it. It freshens it up. And when you see those lions at night, man, I mean, it almost made it number one for me because of having the two different times now that you can do it. Because the day and the night experience are so much different. But the thing that's cool about the night is, even though you know you're safe and you know you're in that Disney World – there's still something eerie about going through the jungle at night. It kind of gives it a whole new atmosphere, and I love it during the day, but I have to say the nighttime trip through Kilimanjaro is better than the day. So Kilimanjaro Safari is number two for me. Dan, you?
Yeah, number two for me is the Gorilla Falls, which we talked about earlier in the show, and for all the reasons we talked about, it's very high on my list. And for just a walking trail or trek or whatever trail in this case, it's worth it. It's not an attraction. It's more of a exhibit, but it's probably one of the finest in the country, if not the world, and not to be missed in my view.
Absolutely. Bobby?
Okay, so number two for both John and I, we agree on this one. If the Tree of Life was not Animal Kingdom's park icon, I'm pretty sure Expedition Everest or the mountain would be very close behind. So,
go ahead, Bobby. I'm sorry.
Expedition Everest is number two on both John's and my list. It's an outstanding roller coaster. I understand what Dennis is saying as far as, the backward portion. That does kind of get me a little bit disoriented at my advancing age. But bottom line is it's a phenomenal roller coaster, one of the better ones that I've enjoyed in a long, long time. The theming combined with the uniqueness of the ride and the story that, goes with it. It's number two for me and for John.
I love how eloquently you put it, your advancing age. I got to start using that, Bob. Instead of calling myself old, I'm advancing. So, I mean, I get it. I know I'm the exception to the rule with Expedition Everest. Everybody else likes it but me. Dan, you were on my side a little bit, though.
No, I don't agree with you, but I understand where you're coming from. I mean, it could have more on it. You know, it could have more scenery, more audio animatronics along the ascent to the, you know, summit of the mountain. And obviously, you know, I'm kind of surprised none of us has mentioned this, and the fact that the multi-million dollar feature doesn't work. I mean, you know, that's a problem.
Oh, I 100% agree with you. And that's my whole point. Like, the amount of money that they spent on building that absolutely beautiful, mountain, and they added nothing to it, really. There's, like, not a single animatronic that works on it. That's the point.
I mean, they have the bird, and they have some little grass, but, you know, you're right. It's pretty barren. But I guarantee you, if you ask Joe Rohde, he'd say, well, over in Nepal where we went to, you know, find out about all this, this is exactly what it looks like. So it is, you know, keeping to the, you know, what it would look like in real life. So even though it's boring, there's nothing there at that elevation, there probably isn't much there in real life. So that's why they did it. I'm not saying I agree with it, but that's why they did it.
No, I hear you. And I, like I said, I know I'm the idiot that don't like it. So I will take the fall for that. But number one for me is Dinosaur. And I am advancing in age and I am getting a little older, but I still love the shake, rattle, and roll of that ride. I enjoy every single time I get stuck on the right side, so I get screamed at in my ear from the Dinosaur, which it makes me kind of respect how big my mouth is, which everybody else must have to put up with when they hear me screaming and yelling at them. So I get paid back every time I go on that ride when the Dinosaur yells at me. But I have memories of putting my – I told the story about my godson on there when he was acting like a tough guy and we made him go on again and he cried when he got off. And I really didn't feel bad. My wife did, but I didn't. It was, you know, it's one of those coming of age kind of things. He got off talking all this junk. Oh, let's do it again. And then when I said, okay, you could just see his whole heart just drop.
He turned white.
Oh, and he went in there and the whole time he's like, we're doing this? We're really? Yeah, absolutely. And then he got on and we literally sat on the – we were on the front seat and I could still see it. He starts crying. And yeah, my wife goes, we got to get him off. I said, there is no way he is getting off this. He will cry the whole way through it. He will cry when he gets off it. He will live. There's nothing going to happen to him. But no Davis boy or my godson is going to hop off this ride scared. And he did it. And I still remember it. And it's one of the best memories. And I love this ride. And I have to do it every trip. That's one of the sad parts about the last trip that it was closed. It really upset me because I love dinosaurs. And one of these days it'll be too. It'll beat me up too, but I will keep taking the beating because that's how much I like it. Number one for you, Dan.
Yeah, number one is Kilimanjaro Safaris, and again, we kind of talk about this, but again, I mean, to see the animals in that atmosphere and in those exhibits, and to your point earlier, Doug, you're seeing the animals in as close to what their natural habitat.
They look happy.
Yes, and, you know, we've all watched the shows, or at least we have because we're Disney nerds, about how they mask the, you know, fences and enclosures. I mean, they're obviously not all just walking around out there to do what they want. They're all in some sort of containment, but in most cases, or I'm going to say in all cases, you can't see where the containments are. They've done a great job at masking it so that it looks like whatever the fencing is, or, you know, whatever keeps the animals in where they're supposed to be, is it looks like the Serengeti
natural habitat.
Yeah, you can. So in that regard, it's you know, a phenomenal place to see the animals, how they would be living. And, you know, think about the elephants and the hippopotamuses and, you know, the water features they have. And again, they look happy and you're seeing them. I mean, some of the animals are hard to see because they're up in the grass and, you know, you got to look real hard. But, you know, it's an awesome attraction. And you talk about repeatability. I mean, you probably never get the same experience twice. Even if you were to do it back to back to back, you'd probably see something different. And it just can't be missed. I mean, I think Bob said it. It screams Animal Kingdom, and you know, you just have to do this attraction. I mean, it's you know, it's just an awesome way to see animals that you're not going to see in your hometown, or if you have a zoo close by, you're certainly not going to see them in this majestic setting as you do in on Kilimanjaro safaris.
Well, the thing is, too, Dan, like we've talked about, like one of the reasons why we get so PO'd at living with the land that we miss the boat captains. The skippers, the captains. The thing that's wonderful about Kilimanjaro Safari is every time you go on it, you're going to get a different driver that could change the whole atmosphere. It gives the ride a different vibe, and it makes it new. Every single time you go on that ride, it changes, and that's one of the things I love about it. You never know what you're going to get between the driver. You don't know what the elephants are going to do. Like, you know, you don't know what the hippopotamus, you never know what's going to happen. Every time you could see a once in a lifetime kind of deal on that ride. And that's what
sure.
I love about it.
I mean, the animals are, you know, I'm sure this has happened. They can just walk on the track and the truck has to stop. Or sometimes I've seen where they have to bring a vehicle out and actually gently, persuade one of the animals across the road because they've decided to just sit down and, they can't stay there forever, the vehicles, that is. So, you know, I've had some interesting rides on that attraction where, you know, like I said, they've had to bring in, folks to, you know, either coax them off the road with food or something like that, so the rest of the vehicles can keep the attraction moving, because the animals have the right of way on this attraction, and rightfully so. So you're in there on their turf, so they come first.
Yeah, we had a rhino that just blocked the road for a while. So what's number one for you, Bobby?
So for me, there's an attraction that just does scream Animal Kingdom, and that is Kilimanjaro Safaris. And I'm very pleased to say that as we've been sitting here talking, for our trip in early March, I went on and scheduled a 7 p.m.
There you go.
Now, that was the easy part. The tough part is convincing Mrs. LNWDW to enjoy it with me. So we'll see how that works out. But John and I both agree with Dennis. Kilimanjaro Safaris is my number one, John's. It is also the defending Animal Kingdom champion.
And rightfully so, Bob. I mean, to me, dinosaurs and that are like 1 and 1A. I have no favorite when it comes to it. I had to put one in the lead, and the fun I had with my godson on that made it number one. But either one, and my dad on Kilimanjaro, I mean, I just – those two rides are very special to my heart, and you got to get her to go on that at night. If it's dark out, it'll be an experience that you've never had.
So I'm looking forward to it. We'll see. We'll see if we can make that happen.
Because I'm not the only one either, because I've heard on a couple other shows where people have talked about the nighttime, and they – and Carmen from Peas and Carrots, they talked about going on at nighttime and how much more awake and alive and more vibrant that the lions were. That they didn't see the two, like I said on the one show we were talking about when we did our trip report. I couldn't believe seeing the male lion and the female lion wrestling on top of the rock. It was like we sat there for 15 minutes watching it. I was like, I couldn't believe what I was seeing. It was like, they actually are awake. They do
right.
Something instead of sleep all day.
A lot of them animals are nocturnal,
Absolutely.
So it makes perfect sense. But, before Disney came up with this nighttime version, I mean, you know, in order to keep the people away from the animals and respect their ability to get the proper rest and solitude that they need at night, you know, they never really did this, but I think that they've kind of reached a happy medium where they can, you know, let folks observe the animals at nighttime and, you know, still allow the animals to get their rest. Or maybe they're going to use different, you know, we don't know if it's these same lions, you know, or a different pride they have, who knows, but it certainly lends you the ability to be able to see animals that by nature just are not active during the daylight hours. And no matter what they do, they're just not going to frolic around like you were saying that you saw, Doug, when you saw them at night.
It was amazing. That male lion literally went across the top of that rock probably 6 or 7 times from one end to the other, Dennis roaring. He just kept walking and roaring. He would walk, he would prance all the way down to one end and then come all the way back. And he just was roaring, and we just sat there watching him. And then, like I said, the female, I guess she was the matriarch, she jumped up and literally wrapped her arms around his mane and was like wrestling with him, like hanging from his neck. And he like pawed at her, like they didn't hurt each other. It was just so cool to actually see, because the most I've ever seen is one walk across the rocks and then flop and go to sleep. I mean, I don't know if you've ever seen more than that, have you?
No, I mean, that's what I feel like doing in Florida when it's 98 degrees and humid, is just flop down somewhere. So I don't blame them for doing that. And, you know, we all know that they do pump coolant into those rocks so that they're, that's why they're at least visible. They tend to stay out there because they're nice and cool for them, and they take advantage of that so that they're at least visible to the vehicles going by.
Yeah, they're air conditioned, which is thank goodness for them. So you want to get into the wild cards, Bob?
So let me announce the wild cards first, and then I'll count down the final top 16 seeding from 16 to 1. The wild cards that will join the 16 attractions that we've just discussed will be the Oasis Exhibits, Backstage Tales, Flights of Wonder, Discovery Island Trails, Tree of Life Awakenings, Savor the Savannah Evening Safari Experience, Tam Tam Drummers of Harambe, and Winged Encounters, The Kingdom Takes Flight. Those will be the wild cards for the poll that'll drop on Saturday the 28th, and will be part of the four groups that I described at the beginning of the show. The final top 16 seating will be from 16 to 1. Number 16, Triceratops Spin. Number 15, Primeval Whirl. Number 14, Kali River Rapids. Number 13, Rafiki's Planet Watch. Number 12, Finding Nemo. Number 11, Wild Africa Trek. Number 10, Wilderness Explorers. Number 9, Maharaja Jungle Trek. Number 8, Wildlife Express Train. Number 7, Tree of Life. Number 6, Gorilla Falls Exploration Trail. Number 5, Expedition Everest, a former two-time champion, by the way. Man. Number 4, Festival of the Lion King. Number 3, It's Tough to Be a Bug. Number 2, Dinosaur. And the number 1 seed, by a long margin, Kilimanjaro Safaris.
Well, good for that. And now we just got to get Wonders of Life in, the two idiots at the end out, and we'll have a good tournament. Now, have you either one of you seen the tree? Have either one of you seen the Tree of Life Awakened yet?
I have not.
And neither have I. That's another thing that I can put on my list as one of the to-dos if we can slip over to Animal Kingdom this evening that I just booked the Fast Pass for.
I'm telling you guys, I mean, two of the most wonderful things that I seen on my last trip down there was watching that Tree of Life Awakens. And we stayed there and watched it. We seen almost all of them. We just stayed and kept watching because there's different. They do different shows on the tree. There's a couple different shows that they do on it. But, and then the other thing is, did either of you guys see that guy playing the harp? Did you see him then?
He's right on the corner there. Isn't it by Yak and Yeti on the corner there?
No, he's up a little bit further, but yeah, you
on
did
left,
see him.
Yeah.
Yeah, did yeah, you yeah, see, you seen him with that electric harp? Was he not awesome or what?
Yeah, I've seen him a couple of times, and I usually stay there, kind of like off kilter. I would, you know, I don't stay for, you know, the whole time he's playing, but we'll listen to a song or two, and a very talented guy and a very unique instrument.
Yeah, the last trip was the first time I actually seen him, and we seen that, and then we went up and see the Tree of Life Awakens, and that kind of was like the icing on the cake to the night. I mean, those two things alone, we had a phenomenal time, the three of us. You know, it was my godson playing guitar. He's very musical in the whole nine yards. he was sitting there and just watching him watch that dude play that harp. It was like, you know, I mean, he's the closest thing I have to a son, him and my other godson, Donnie. So, and you guys know this by watching your kids enjoy something. When I was watching Jimmy watch him play, it kind of like, you know, it made me very, very happy to see how happy he was watching that. And you guys know what I'm talking about with both having kids. When they're happy, it makes you happy. And it really it put a little smile on my face watching him that night.
Right, because, you know, if you told him about that in advance, he probably would have poo-pooed it and said, I'm not interested in that. And, you know, the fact that he just stumbled or you guys stumbled upon it and he took an interest in it, you know, because of his background in music. But, you know what I mean? If you tried to pump that up and sell it to him in advance, it wouldn't have been as good as it was just kind of having him discover it for himself. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. The three of us were walking by, and we came up right as he was starting his set, and we stayed for the entire set, and it was one of the best things I've ever heard. And I'm not saying it's the Beatles or anything crazy like that, but it's just so unique, and it's another one of those things that it's a very uplifting act, isn't it? Like, it makes you happy. It's another thing, like I was talking about, that at the Animal Kingdom, it just puts a smile on your face, and I really enjoy that. And then we seen the Tree of Life, and then I went in and bought my Flame Tree barbecue sauce. I mean, it don't get much better than that. The only thing would have been better if my beautiful wife would have been with me on that trip.
Right.
Yeah, you know, that's the only downer.
Good thing you got that Flame Tree barbecue sauce, because I saw an article during the week that they took it away.
Yeah, well, I have to look into that, because, dude, I made these pulled chicken sandwich. I barbecued and then pulled all the chicken apart and put in that sauce. We had sandwiches this past week, and I made homemade homemade potato skins. It was phenomenal. Potato wedges. I mean, I got to get more of that barbecue sauce. You got to find it for me, Bob. It's your responsibility.
Bob, did they say why, or they just discontinued it for no reason, or?
No, it's just an article that I saw a couple days back, 3 or 4 days back, and I just found it. It says Flame Tree Barbecue retiring signature barbecue sauce.
See, I think what's happening though, Bob, is from the way I read it, I did read the same article. I think you'll still be able to get the sauce, but I don't think they're no longer. It's going to be in the restaurant on the actual barbecue, and it's going to be sold, but I think the packets now are going to be a different company. Like, know how when you do your takeout, you just grab yours, and then you grab the packets to put on the extra packets? I think it's going to be a different brand.
It just says here, the cast members stated that they were informed that it will not be restocked, and instead they will simply be distributing only the Heinz barbecue sauce packets.
Exactly. That's what I'm talking about. I don't think they're going to be packing their own sauce anymore, but I think that all the food is going to be cooked in the original sauce, if that makes sense to you. The extra sauce is going to be the Heinz, because Disney's no longer going to package theirs, is the way I took the article. I will find out, because I will be making a phone call this week to try to buy something to get sent to me. So I will let you know, because I do want more of it. It's that good. So we'll see. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned for Sunday, folks.
So I don't know. The only thing I'm disappointed in is Flights and Wonders is in the wild card class. But besides that, I'm looking forward to seeing how this poll goes. Who do you guys predict is going to win the whole shooting match?
I think it's Kilimanjaro. No, it would hands down. I think it's a no-brainer.
Bobby,
I think it's going to be a battle between Kilimanjaro and Expedition. I think probably the last big competition between those two. With Pandora opening up later this year, I think that's really going to throw a bit of a jumble into this particular parks poll. But generally, in the last couple of years, it's been Kilimanjaro and Expedition Everest duking it out.
Well, I think just the fact that Kilimanjaro allows the nature of the attraction allows more people of a wider group of people to enjoy it, where I think Expedition Everest, you got your thrill junkies that, of course, are going to love it and gobble it up. But I think you got, you know, the scaredy cats and, you know, folks that for medical reasons can't do it. It limits the amount of people. That's why I think Kilimanjaro has an advantage going into the finals, should it make it.
No, I'm voting for Kilimanjaro if it comes down to them too. But, I mean, really, I like dinosaurs, but if Kilimanjaro – I mean, I do like – I mean, it's 1 and 1A. I understand, and I do think Kilimanjaro is the staple ride for the park. So, I'd be happy if it did win. So,
you know, thinking about it, Doug, it's almost – with the Animal Kingdom, you could almost break it in the two – where Kilimanjaro and some of the animal exhibits are like separate from the attractions, if that makes any sense. Do you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. Dinosaur is an attraction. You know, there's attractions there, but I think that sometimes it's hard to, you know, pick between an animal exhibit, which that's basically what Kilimanjaro Safaris is, right? It's just on steroids, but for, you know, by and large, it's just it's showing you the animals. You know, to compare that to an attraction, it's kind of hard. They're both great in their own right, but you know, to argue one over the other can be difficult.
Yeah, the amount, the size, the beauty, everything that goes into Kilimanjaro, I put dinosaurs one, but really, I do think Kilimanjaro deserves the win, but we'll see what happens. And everybody head over to It's All in WDW on Saturday and vote, and we'll see what happens. But I think that's what will end up being the final winner. I hope so. I hope it isn't Everest, because it doesn't deserve to be. But we'll see. Everybody might hate me enough to vote for Everest. So please, guys, head over to iTunes and leave us a review if you enjoy the show. Head over to It's All in WDW, our website, and check out our polls and all the great articles that Bob puts up. And you can also find Bob at It's All in WDW on Twitter. You can follow Dennis at Oak Manor. You can follow John at The Weekly Pint and Beer Solo at Beer Solo on Twitter. And you guys all know me at Grumpy6767. And you can follow us all at WDW Main Street. Please, guys, have a great rest of your week, and we will talk to you on Sunday.
Good night.
Take care, everyone. Go ahead and vote.
America, spread your golden wings, sail on freedom's wind, cross the sky. Great bird, with your golden dreams, flying high, flying high.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. My fellow citizens of the world, ask not what America will do for you, but what together we can do for the freedom of man.
I have a dream this afternoon that the brotherhood of man will become a reality in this day with this faith.
30 feet down, 2.5, picking up some dust. Four forward, drifting to the right a little. Contact light. Okay, engine stop.
We copy you down, Eagle.
Tranquility Base, here. The Eagle has landed.